This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome
to My Favorite Murder,
the minisode,
where we read you your stories.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Mine were under a cat. Okay. This is called Drag Story Hour Murderino. Hi there. My name is Pickle, and I'm a drag queen here in LA.
Pickle's the best drag queen name. I need to take a look at Pickle right now. Oh, Pickle. Yes. Drag Laureate, the city of West Hollywood, Drag Story Hour, Los Angeles.
Hell
Pickle's
yeah.
Doing it. Pickle's killing it.
Pickle is at Pickle Drag Queen on Instagram. Following. Boom. Okay. I love the podcast and I always listen to you. And it says, and Buried Bones. While I'm making my costumes. And then it says, which then I wear to read to kids. So that's a little sinister, but also very wholesome. It's not like I talk about murder at story hour.
See?
I mean, amen.
We have our boundaries. We know what we're doing.
Yeah. I'm actually not sure if you've covered the assassination of Robert Kennedy. Then Alejandra, let me know that I actually covered it in the second episode of this podcast.
Did you really?
Called My Second Best Murder. Why did we name it that? I don't know.
Because we remember we were doing like my firstest murder, second best. And then we around 18 had to bail because we're like, how are we going to do this?
Yeah. It's not like we thought we were going to do 400 fucking episodes of this podcast.
Dude. What if we were still doing it? It's like my 400th.
Yeah. Just quip upon quip. Okay. But that is my hometown. I'm from LA. And when I was a young boy, 9 or 10, circa 2005 or so. My God, he's a baby.
Such a baby.
I was making a cameo in an Elvis Costello music video called Monkey to Man.
Hmm.
And it says my fellow cameo maker was Jenny Lewis. So that was cool. But I was 9, so I didn't know it was cool. And I just thought she had very chic hair. She does. We filmed the video at the Ambassador Hotel not too long before they tore it down. And one of the hotel staff took me to the kitchen where RFK was shot. It was super creepy. And he showed me the corner where the assassin, Sirhan Sirhan, jumped out and shot him. And the tiny X carved into the cement floor where he fell.
Why would that hotel worker do that with a young child?
That's a great question. Well, then it says, I do realize now that maybe I shouldn't have followed a random stranger to the kitchen where the senator got shot 40 years prior, but spent the rest of the day searching the hotel for ghosts. But they never reveal themselves to me, so no luck there. I am not paranormally gifted.
Mm.
The hotel was demolished within the year, and so now the ex is gone, but it is seared into my memory. What a weird fucking thing to show a 9 or 10-year-old.
Or maybe it's a person that was like a murderino type that was like, I think this kid's gonna like this.
Yeah. This is making a murder right now, for sure. Thank you for all the great content and also for all the work you do. I am super inspired by your spirit, and you always make me laugh while I'm sewing giant pink bows and gowns. Best, Pickle.
Pickle!
Pickle!
Yay.
So good.
I know I've said this to you before, but drag comedy is kind of my favorite comedy because as a stand-up, watching drag queens perform like, you know, drag bingo or whatever, mm-hmm. where it's like they're doing like performance art, improv, stand up, and basically crowd work all together with essentially kind of holding a reality of their own, a new reality.
Yeah. And in like complete like evening wear from a fucking like Miss America pageant.
Wearing like corset shit that like
wigs.
Literally, I get a stomach ache. Yeah. It's my favorite. And they are the funniest because they kind of have to be the funniest.
Mm-hmm.
So Pickle, I love Pickle's name, but I was never more excited than when Peaches Christ started following me on Twitter. I couldn't believe it. So if Peaches is listening, hi, which is stolen from Alaska.
Right.
It says, the Onion Pie Murder, historic hometown. Mm. Hi, ladies. Whilst procrastinating at work, I started reading up on our local prison in Lewes, UK. It looks like Lewes, but then they put Lewes in parentheses. Whilst reading through the notable inmates, including Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, I discovered that Sarah Ann French, the last inmate to be publicly hung at the prison, and also the first and only woman. Hmm. On Christmas Eve, 1851, Sarah Ann French served her husband, William French, his favorite meal, onion pie. When William French died days later of a supposed stomach upset, the superintendent didn't believe that it could be natural causes, and on closer inspection, it was discovered he died from arsenic poisoning. Oh, it was a classic would you marry me if my husband was out of the way story. Mm-hmm. Sarah Ann had fallen in love with someone else and wanted her husband out of the picture. Sarah Ann's public execution amassed a huge crowd of approximately 4,000 people.
People used to go to public executions like as a day out with their family.
Yeah, with kids and stuff.
What the fuck?
Well, it's before the internet, which is mad considering that is about a quarter of the population today. The prison decided to stop public hangings after this event when they learned that Sarah Ann had been an attendee at the public hanging of another husband poisoner in nearby Hastings just 3 years earlier. The prison decided there was no beneficial impact on society by witnessing these hangings and instead could be influencing others to commit the same crimes. As someone who is incredibly intolerant to onions, this story stood out to me.
Did you know that there are old graves that have like favorite recipes on them?
Yes.
And there's someone going around making those recipes?
Yes, I love that.
How cool
because
is
it's
that?
Like if you had like say grandma who made your favorite chocolate chip cookies in her certain way, and that's basically like anyone can have these now
forever.
I love that.
So good.
I love it.
I do too. What would your grandma's recipe be?
My grandmother had 9 children. Okay, let's just say this. My grandmother was an immigrant when she was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. She had 9 kids. She did her best, but she used to make, she made pot roast.
Okay.
And she had a pot roast on the stove in a big pot every single day. So you could go to her house at any time, day or night, and get a slice of pot roast if you wanted to.
That is my dream.
That was just like her jam. But then there was a joke that we never stopped doing after she died because she used to serve, if she had Thanksgiving at her house, she would serve iceberg lettuce salad that had a big square of Jello with a fruit cocktail in it.
Yes.
And Thousand Island dressing on top of it.
Oh, no, thank you.
It is so, it's so funny to me because it's like we used to eat it when we were younger, like, I guess. Okay, yeah. And it's kind of crazy. But then, like, the older everybody got, we were like, why are we doing this?
This is us hour talking about
ourselves. For real. Oh, wait, I didn't even finish this email.
I know.
As someone who's incredibly intolerant to onions, this story stood out to me. Thanks for the amazing podcast and all you do. Stay sexy and be suspicious of homemade pies, Chloe.
That's a good one to hide arsenic in, I feel like, because onion's so overpowering.
Yep.
Take note, everyone.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Springtime's all about making a fresh start, and nothing says clean slate like a completed to-do list.
If your to-do list includes finding a home security system, look no further than SimpliSafe.
SimpliSafe is an award-winning home security system, and it's a top pick at publications like NerdWallet and CNET.
SimpliSafe's easy-to-install HD cameras keep watch over your home day and night. Plus, their advanced sensors can tell the difference between a break-in, a weather event, or a false alarm.
And if there is a break-in, SimpliSafe's 24/7 professional monitoring means you'll have a trained agent on standby. They can talk to intruders in real time and dispatch emergency responders.
If you need help during setup, the SimpliSafe customer service team is world class. Newsweek recognized them as the best in the business.
You get all this peace of mind for less than $1 a day. And if you don't love it after 60 days, return your system for a full refund.
Vince was out of town the other weekend, and I have to say, it was such a comfort and felt so secure because I have an alarm system in my house. If I didn't have that in my house when Vince was out of town, I'd go stay with a friend because that alarm system gives me peace of mind. And I need that when Vince is gone and I'm home alone.
So find the peace of mind you've been searching for.
Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/fave.
That's simplisafe.com/fave.
There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Goodbye.
Lighthearted dad lore / Stephen King origin story.
Hey.
Emphasis mine. Okay. Hello, Karen, Georgia, and the Menagerie of Pets, which you can see in the video that we're making for the fan cult right now. There's Blossom and here's a really unhappy Dottie.
Not very happy Blossom either.
Okay. I'm not much of a writer, but this has been sitting in my notes out for way too long. I was recently listening to Throwback Minisodes and heard some about Stephen King. So I wanted to write in about my dad and his Stephen King related dad lore. Dad lore is a good topic. Let's do dad lore.
Dad lore is a great topic.
Guys, send us your dad lore stories. My dad grew up in Maine. He was an original latchkey kid whose dad passed away when he was young. For most of his childhood, he was raising his younger brother and bouncing around the rural parts of Maine. He spent most of his time in Lisbon Falls, Maine, where he went to school with Stephen King. As with many baby boomer fathers, whenever he meets up with his buddies from high school and has a couple beers, it is common to hear many new shocking stories told in a very nonchalant manner. Recently, they were Stephen King related. He told me over the summer that Stephen King was from a nearby school district, but because it was so rural, they bused Stephen King and the other kids into his school. Apparently, they did not have the budget for a bus, so they converted an old, all caps, funeral hearse.
What?
Into a school bus. So yes, Stephen King's origin story might be that he had to ride to school through the creepy dark backwoods of Maine in a hearse.
Converted, like they cut the roof off and put seats in, or like...
I don't know. I think the roof could stay, but they must have just put like a couple rows of seats in. And then they didn't use seatbelts back then, so they might have just tossed the kids in like willy-nilly.
They just made them get in the coffin area.
Probably.
Like, please sit, put your hands in your lap and, you know, don't screw... I don't know why I immediately took the roof off the hearse.
That was pretty cool. You were like, that was like your murdered out car at Bob's Big Boy on Friday nights.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. That's my, I'd lower it. I'd tint the windows.
There's also a small enough community in that area that my dad and his buddies know who most of the characters in his books are based on.
Oh.
Apparently, all caps, including my own father.
Ooh.
In true dad lore fashion, it slipped that, quote, the body and its screen adaptation, Stand By Me, are based off him and his friends. What? When they were in middle school, a boy their age went missing along the tracks in Maine. There was a reward offered for whoever found the body. So naturally, he and his friends, all minimally supervised latchkey children decided that they would try and get that, and it says this, money. So they set off to go find the body of the missing boy. I mean,
wow.
When they began their weekend long hike, they walked out to the train tracks where they were quickly confronted by an older group of guys, one of which was one of his friend's older brother. And more notably, one of the other older guys was Stephen King.
Oh, shit. So Stephen King was not was not Will Wheaton in that situation. He was like Kiefer Sutherland.
He was the Kiefer Sutherland group, which, by the way, Kiefer Sutherland, like, oh, in that movie.
No. Not for me.
Will Wheaton for you? Corey Feldman, too. I love Corey Feldman.
No, fucking River Phoenix.
Oh, River Phoenix. Yeah, I mean, I didn't like him that pretty. I was like, I don't stand a chance. I don't stand the chance with the gorgeous ones. I'm going to take the second or like the funny one. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Confidence. Okay.
It's always been there.
Yeah. One of the older guys told my dad and friends they were dumb and threatened to beat them up if they went looking for the body. More importantly, they asked, what's your plan when you find this kid's body in the middle of the woods? My dad and his buddies quickly realized that their plan had a few minor holes. So unlike the book and the movie, that was as far as this group of poorly supervised preteens got. They immediately gave up on their body finding endeavors. I'm sure I will find out more Stephen King related dad lore next time his friends come to town, and I will be sure to write in.
Please do.
Thank you for all you guys do. I began listening to you when I was in college. I was a D1 athlete and miserable, spending all of my time at practice or on a bus going from competition to competition. You guys kept me company during countless bus rides and study halls, and now during my workday. I refer to you lovingly as my murder friends, to my girlfriend who does not like true crime or podcasts. That's cool.
Yeah.
I would love to give a, and it says SO, which I think for the young kids is shout out. To a fellow murderino who got me through those tough times, my athletic trainer, Fafa. She truly cares about the physical and mental well-being of all her student athletes, which is kind of rare in the world of college sports. Best, CJ, she, her.
First of all, CJ, congratulations on being a D1 athlete, because it takes a level of dedication from probably age 8, I would imagine.
What does that mean? I don't, I'm like a D-, whatever it is, because I don't even know what that
is. I think it just means you're competing on a college level.
Oh, wow.
Which in and of itself isn't easy to do. And I think it's like a certain level of a college level. So it's like not just whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I've heard my sister and Nora talk about like, oh, she got picked by a D1 school or whatever.
Wow.
And it is crazy. It's constant. Where I'm like, I think about that all the time. It's like that dedication, it's really something. But also then they're the kind of people that are like, when they're a little bit older, they're like, yeah, I get up and go run in the morning because I know it actually feels really good.
Right.
Where I'm literally still like, I just need to walk to the kitchen. I just need to get to the coffee maker.
That's okay. We're all here with you.
Look, we can't all be D1 athletes. The subject line of this is hidden treasure. Hello. Back in 2018, my partner and I left our modest home in the mountains, we called it the cabin, to move in with and care for his dad, who suffered from Lewy body dementia. He has since passed. He was kind, caring, intelligent, funny, and talented. He had a cupboard full of board games, which moved up to the cabin after we moved out of his house in 2020. Chess, backgammon, pente, I've never heard of that game, P-E-N-T-E, pente, all the classics, and two sets of Scrabble, one deluxe with a fancy velvet pouch for the letter tiles, and one regular. I love Scrabble and used to play it all the time when I was a cool young 20-something nerd. In parentheses, it says in all caps, nerd. Mm. But I haven't played it in years because my partner's dyslexic and he does not enjoy Scrabble. Yeah.
Fair enough.
So for the last couple of years, Scrabble lay dormant. Fast forward to the spring, to this spring, 2023, when we sold the house. My partner considered leaving one of the Scrabble sets for the new owners because mountain houses deserve board games. He decided at the last minute to take them both and donate one. After bringing the last load to our new house, he was about to drop off some things to donate when the deluxe Scrabble box fell off the top of the tower of donation items onto the floor in the cab of the truck. Tiles spilled everywhere. Among the tiles in the fancy pouch, out fell a Rolex.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
We had found some things hidden in odd places due to his dad's dementia, but the Rolex was by far the most surprising. And to think we almost gave it away twice.
Fuck.
I have many fond and funny memories of his dad, and I'm glad we could add another story to the collection even after he passed. I'm gonna start crying. To anyone out there caring for a loved one with dementia, hang in there. I know it's hard. Your patience is repeatedly tested, and sometimes it fails, and you second guess every decision you make along the way, not knowing what right answers are. Those were the most challenging years of my life, but I'm grateful for all the beautiful moments that were sprinkled throughout, the heartbreaking and frustrating ones. And even though at some point you can't really articulate it anymore, your loved one appreciates you. XO Sarah.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
Why don't I read these emails all the way through?
Well, it's not like you wouldn't have done it if you fucking, like, fuck this one.
Just throw it out entirely. No, that one is like, that was treasure, but then it's also like a beautiful story and
perfect.
We just, in the last one, we had that where there's really something kind of magical to that after a loved one dies discovery.
Yeah, it's like a message from beyond. It's so cool.
Completely. And that's like that Christmas that my sister found that little bell lady our mantle all our lives, but like never, no one ever talked about it or cared about it. And I opened a box and it was like,
it just shows
the bell lady is just the craziest. It's the best.
Oh my God, that's beautiful. Yeah. I love it. Everyone, check your grandpa's pockets before you
donate
his clothes to Goodwill.
Rummage through that stuff.
Yeah, be nosy. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye. My last one is kind of long also. Wild and dangerous school-sponsored, quote, trip. It says 3-minute read. Hello, all. I've been a fan for years and I keep thinking I need to write in and finally have the guts to do so. So this is a long story, but I'm summing it up for you. So let's waste no more time and get to it.
You've wasted so much time already.
When I was 16, I took a trip with my high school to Eastern Europe. There were 20 high schoolers and 3 chaperones, and we went for 18 days.
Hell yeah.
That's a long time.
And you can drink over there because there's the drinking. Oh, sorry.
That's right. The chaperones didn't supervise whatsoever, and it felt more like spring break Daytona most days. It says, but with 15 and 16-year-olds drinking German beer.
Yes.
Anyway, that sets the stage. Halfway through the trip, we took an overnight train from Poland to the Czech Republic. They divided the students into groups of 4, and we each got a cabin on the very old Soviet-era train with bunk beds and a window that was permanently open.
Wow.
Oh, and a door that didn't lock. It was me, my best friend, and 2 boys from our high school football team in my cab. Did I mention this was an overnight train and there was no food or water? We didn't know until I asked about water, and the chaperone, who was the high school German teacher, told me the conductor was selling beer for 1 euro, and that was our only option until morning when we got to Prague.
Well, then, if that's the only option, I'll have 17.
Exactly. So naturally, me and my best friend trekked to the front of the train, straddled an open bar, and it said you could see the tracks below.
What?
And a man who spoke 0 English sold us warm bottles of beer from a milk crate. That's right, they drink warm beer.
It's warm.
Europe.
Yeah. I mean, not always, but yeah, for the most part, that's their thing.
When we were on our flight to Paris, Vince got a beer and it was warm and he asked for a cup of ice. And the stewardess said, don't do that when you get to Paris. Like,
oh,
don't.
Right.
Like, people will be offended. Yes. Exactly. And then it says, this was 2 a.m., mind you. Needless to say, in my cab, we stayed up all night drinking because we were unsupervised American 16-year-olds in the middle of the Czech Republic on a train. What did they expect? Here's where shit gets wild.
Oh.
At around 3 a.m., the train comes to a complete stop. There's no intercom. The train is very old. Did I mention that? So we all just gather around the open window wondering what's going on. To our horror, we are in the middle of the forest. Picture fog, moonlight, and then insert lots of loud yelling in a foreign language. Our chaperones are asleep and we can't ask anyone what's happening. So we just watch in utter confusion as the train just idles. A few minutes later, we see flashlights and a man in a jumpsuit jump off the train, screaming and running away through the woods until he disappears. A few minutes later, the train restarts and we are all freaking out with no literal clue what's happening. We all sober up real quick. Fast forward to morning, we arrive in Prague. No one from my bunk has slept and our chaperones meet us outside the train so we can all head to breakfast as a group. When we ask the head chaperone if she knows what happened last night, she simply laughs and says, an escaped convict boarded our train, and when they found him, he jumped from the train and escaped.
Jesus Christ.
And just keeps going on about her breakfast. Through more chatter amongst the chaperones, we learn that this escaped prisoner was in our train car, probably just a few doors down.
Oh my God.
With no door locks.
No door locks, a big open window. Yeah. They're drunk off their asses.
Exactly. I can just sum up the rest of the trip by saying this is about how wild and unsafe every day on this, quote, study abroad trip was. My mom still doesn't know how insane this trip was, and it's been 15 years. Anyway, stay sexy and maybe don't send your 16-year-old daughter to Eastern Europe for an educational trip. And it's signed Catherine.
Catherine. That is, I think it's time to tell your mom the story. If it's been 15 years, she's not going to be mad anymore. Just wait until like after a holiday dinner
right.
of some kind when she might have a couple on board.
Yeah.
And then she's like, look, I finally got to tell you about this trip.
And maybe she'll have some stories to tell you. And then you can write in another email about yes. your mom's story.
And put it in the subject line. Hey, guys, Catherine here.
Hey, it's Catherine.
You told me to do this, but you've definitely forgotten. Okay, so this is my third one. I'm not going to read you the subject line. This is so not so. Okay. And it just starts. My dad would be what most would imagine as an all-American, freedom-loving, flannel-wearing, beer-drinking dad. On top of that, he also has some of the best dad lore around. Wait.
Dad
we
lore.
Must have. We asked for dad lore. We must have.
Yeah, but. Okay, we must have already done it.
I mean, because they mentioned it in theirs, in the one you read.
I think dad lore is a thing, and we just asked for it.
Dad lore. Okay. So on top of that, he also had some of the best dad lore around. This man had survived stage 4 leukemia.
Whoa.
He was nearly a hot air balloon pilot. Nearly. An active member of the Bigfoot Hunting League of America.
Yes.
Oh my God, I love this man. But I'm about to tell you my personal favorite story. So my dad started his own stone manufacturing company from the ground up and has become extremely successful through hard work and determination. In his success, he got to travel to many other countries. One of these trips was to Italy to visit some mines and get to know some foreign partners. He luckily was traveling with a good friend of ours from Italy called Adagio. Adagio was going to be my dad's guide and help him around since my all-American dad wasn't about to learn foreign customs. Of course not. Why would you? You should have seen when he went to Vietnam and China, LOL. Adagio knew all the great places and hidden gems to eat and drink wine at. My dad isn't all that fancy of a guy and could care less about wine. My childhood was filled with campfire hot dogs and apple pies being fine cuisine. Mm. It is fine cuisine. Mm-hmm. I honestly think it was more for Adagio, though he grew up with a very Italian mother. So he was excited to try all of the meats and cheeses. Mm-hmm. They went to a late night wine tasting in a hidden back alley restaurant that was accessible through many hidden doors. And while they were eating, my dad said a guy kept looking at him and drawing on a notepad. This guy was at a table behind Adagio, so Adagio didn't see him at first. My dad, being the wonderful but suspicious guy that he is, was a bit put off by this and asked Adagio if the guy was into him or if this was just an Italian thing. Adagio laughed and turned around to say hello to the guy, since he assumed he might have known him or could strike up a friendly conversation to get to know what he was doing. Though when Adagio turned around, he paused and nearly choked on his wine. He turned swiftly back around and looked at my dad with his jaw to the floor, astonished, asking if my dad had no clue who that guy was. My dad had absolutely no clue and was even more confused now. My poor dad, who, mind you, usually goes to bed at 8 and was just trying to enjoy his meats and cheeses. Adagio then whispers, "That's Dolce from Dolce and Gabbana."
Holy shit.
My dad must have looked very interesting in his flannel shirt from Tractor Supply, his blue jeans, cowboy boots, and leather belt, LOL.
So American.
I'm sure this is quite a sight to see in Italy. My dad was confused why everyone was making such a big deal about this. He likes to say he inspired Dolce's flannel line, which I think he actually did.
Oh my God.
My dad is a wonderful man who has literally been through everything, seen everything, done everything, and inspired everyone around him. His efforts in finding a cure for leukemia and going through numerous painful experimental treatments saved so many lives, and I know his influence and sacrifice has touched so many. If you guys read this on the podcast, I'll be sure to let him know. Scott would love to hear it.
Scott!
Scott!
That guy's straight up Forrest Gump. Like, this is just like, he goes and influences Dolce and Gabbana. He fucking saves people's lives.
He's a fucking legend.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much, ladies. You've gotten me through high school, childbirth, and college.
Whoa, hopefully not all at once.
And I couldn't thank you enough. Stay sexy and wear flannels in Italy. Izzy from Burton, Ohio.
Wow.
Yes.
Such good dad lore.
Such
I love
good
the dad lore. Send us your dad lore or your mom lore.
Yes, I think part of dad lore is the fact that you're telling your dad stories that he's now telling you because he's in his, you know, older in life.
Right.
Where it is a comprehensive thing where you can say, because that's what life is. Life yeah. is getting fucking leukemia. Life is building your own business and fucking working your ass off and whatever. Like,
yeah.
it is all those things. And then it is being your authentic self because you've already been through so much shit. You know, who cares? Like,
yeah.
you should have seen me when I was trying to bring shoes to Italy. Both Adrian and I were freaking out. We're like, we can't wear bad shoes in Italy. And I love that Scott was like, fuck you. I'm wearing my Carhartts and you'll be inspired by it.
Right. Right. Oh my God. Okay. Send us your stories. MyFavoriteMurder@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes, we really appreciate it. And if you're in the fan cult or if you're interested in being in the fan cult, you might want to know that we videotaped this entire mini-sode and you can watch it if you join the fan cult.
That's right. And we have two extra mini-sode stories for you in the fan cult, too.
So much over there.
That's it. Yeah. MyFavoriteMurder.com is the website.
That's right. And it's a new website.
That's right. It's a beautiful website.
Enjoy it and stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Our senior producer is Alejandra Keck.
Our editor is Aristotle Acevedo.
This episode was mixed by Liana Squalacci.
Email your hometowns to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
And follow the show on Instagram and Facebook at myfavoritemurder and on Twitter at myfavemurder.
Goodbye.
Follow My Favorite Murder on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase My Favorite Murder merch.